The Braves Radio Network channel on the Podcast Park is brought to you by Truist Bank. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank.
Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
Man, Tug, we've got a great one here. I'm really excited about a Braves Country podcast today. Blackberry Smoke is playing their big annual homecoming show in Atlanta, Georgia, this Friday night at the fabulous Fox Theater. And Blackberry Smoke's guitar player Paul Jackson joins us today to talk about the show, introduce us to his lovely wife Amanda, tell us the amazing story of the struggles he's overcome to become one of the greatest dads and musicians on the planet. And Paul and Amanda Jackson have a lot to be thankful for, and we're grateful that they've joined us here today for this special Thanksgiving edition in the Braves Radio Network studios. Direct from Noonan, Georgia, Paul and Amanda Jackson. And welcome to Braves Country.
Hello.
Hello.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast. Braves Country also sponsored by Smith's Old Bar, best live music venue in Atlanta since 1994, located in the heart of Midtown at 1578 Piedmont Avenue. Smith's Old Bar is a neighborhood joint for everyone. Check out smithsoldbar.com for the current concert calendar and tickets. See y'all at Smith.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Yes.
Man, it is so good to see you guys.
Good to see you,
it's
too.
It's been a few years, man.
It has been a few years.
So, Tug, I rode around on a tour bus with Paul and saw Amanda frequently for like five straight years, and then I went off to my other tours, and I don't think we saw each other all through all the just BS and
busy.
2020 and everything.
Yeah,
and
all that
this
stuff.
This is like our big reunion.
Look, and everybody's got a smile on their face. We can't wipe the smile off.
We still talk about Scott. My mom asks about you, by the way. She says hello.
See, when mama asks about you, that's when you know you're in good.
Yeah. I love your mama. How's Mama Jean doing?
She's good.
Yeah?
She's good. She's, you know, retired, but now she went back to work. You know how retirees, they just want to... They want to hang, and then they're like, I got to get back to doing something.
Paul, my mama, just literally moved from Dalton, Georgia to Loganville.
Right.
And she's been retired for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And she's already trying to find her a school bus to drive in Loganville.
My mother works at a nursery.
Really? Okay. So we have our mothers are similar paths.
Why would you do that after raising me and my brother and sister?
They want to be around some good kids.
See what it's like?
Yeah.
I get it. That's funny.
But, man, I had the best time driving around with you, Paul. For 5 years, I was like your bunkmate.
We didn't make it easy on you. I know that.
No, it was great. It was easier. I mean, let's see. We made it look easier than it was, but it was fine. We had a great time. I really enjoyed it. And one thing I wanted to say is that, see, bunkmate, let's get this right. You were on the top bunk.
Still
I was in the middle, and then who was down in the bottom down there? Eric. The merch guy.
Yeah.
So, Eric's just snoring all the time, but what I heard mainly from upstairs, Tug, was Paul on the phone with his family.
That's awesome.
And he called his wife before and after the show.
Yep.
Amanda, you can say
still
that's
does.
True. It's still true. Yeah.
Yes, every time.
And call his kids.
She's just constantly bugging. No, I'm just kidding.
And he's just the ultimate family man. You know, it's like really, really living your dream on the road, but living your dream at home too, weren't you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yes. I got a good one. She's one of the wives that we've known each other since middle school, so she gets it.
Cool.
She used to come see me play and all that stuff when we were kids.
All right.
At a teen club.
Yeah.
And then, you know, skip school together, stuff like that. canoeing and all that stuff. We never dated, though.
Is it canoeing? I was going to say, is that code for anything?
Come on over. No, just in Pensacola, Florida. It was Blackwater River, didn't it? Yes. Isn't that where we did it all?
I believe so.
Fun. Good time.
Man, home of the Blue Angels, right? Piccola?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was spent 4 years in the Navy myself, so
nice.
I got down to Pensacola.
Thanks for your service, dude.
It was my honor.
We're both Navy brats.
Are you really?
That's how we wound up in Pensacola.
That's awesome. How cool is that? Yeah. Yes. There's so much there, and so many stories that come together just like that.
Her dad's retired Navy captain.
God bless him. What were his commands?
He was the XO on the Kennedy.
Oh my gosh. What year?
Gosh. Was it the early 90s, late 80s?
Okay, all right. So I was much late. I was at the end of the, because I was stationed aboard Commander Carrier Group 6, was the admiral staff that embarked aboard the John F. Kennedy
for its final
voyage.
Oh, wow.
And his final trip to the Middle East.
He was
super small world.
No kidding. Yeah, he was the air boss. How about that? That's awesome.
I got there via Lexington.
Okay. You know, yeah.
USS Lexington.
There we go. That's still, man.
It's
how cool is that?
Ago,
yeah, but that's good time. I was stationed aboard USS South Carolina and then embarked aboard John F. Kennedy.
I think they say it's like razor blades now.
Well, so is the USS South Carolina because it was a nuclear-powered ship, and they always turn all those nukes into razor blades every time.
We're off to the Navy. I don't know, Scott. What happened?
No, let me just
off
say,
the
you know,
rails on the crazy train.
I'm glad to talk about it
because
I appreciate tug service.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're a military brat, I appreciate that service.
Because
as
you are,
well.
Too.
And I am an Army brat.
That's right. That's
and
right.
We all get along 364 days of the year, but then there's that Army-Navy game where
we
don't
get along. 2 weeks, boys and girls. 2 weeks. Yeah.
Is that when the game is on?
2 weeks from Saturday.
Please and I just want to say, go Army, beat Navy.
No, sir. We'll have none of those days.
You know the exact date on that? Because I hope I'm home.
So, well, hang on. I'll pull up my calendar. I'll pull up the calendar right now.
We got a couple other dates we should talk about while he's looking that up, though. Let's go ahead and let everybody know that this Friday at the Fox Theater, November 5th, you got Blackberry Smoke, featuring, of course, Paul Jackson. And then you have two other bands playing. You got Driving and Crying, Tug's favorite band, and one of my favorite folks. And then the Georgia Satellites, the legendary Georgia Satellites. Tell us about that show, Paul. What's going on?
Man, that lineup, I've been wanting that lineup to happen for years.
Yeah.
You know, because I love those guys.
It's never happened before?
I don't think we've ever all on the same night.
Wow.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And if it has, I definitely don't remember. Yeah, I just love those bands, just killer music, and all those dudes are
good
great,
folks,
man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's historical,
I'm
and
excited.
It hasn't even happened yet. It's a big moment in history, and it hasn't even gone down. It's going to be great. I hope everybody will get there. You can get tickets at blackberrysmoke.com or foxtheater.org.
I just got word that there are low tickets today. So.
Yeah, limited tickets available.
Real, folks.
A
low
few
tea.
Tickets
this is,
remaining.
This is low T, like not like on TV, like you see the low T commercials. This is low T, like in low tickets.
A few tickets remaining. Yeah, that's it. But people should get down there, about 8 o'clock, because they want to see both those first bands.
Totally.
Those guys are legend. All those bands.
It's going to be a fun show. I mean, get to hear all those good tunes. I mean, I'm a fan of the two bands that are opening, so.
Yeah,
I know. I've noticed about you is some folks will stay on the bus or in the dressing room during the other bands, but I always watched you. You always went out and tried to check out the other bands, for sure.
Yeah, because that's, I think, just my opinion, as a musician and a headliner and what we are, it's kind of cold not going out and see the bands.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Especially for like a one-stop. It seems like a one-stop. If you're on tour, like you probably see them, you know, every night, then you can probably skip a night.
I remember going to opening for bands and they just didn't even show up. You know, I know the struggle. I totally get it.
So, Tug, when's the Army-Navy game? You know yet?
Army will lose to Navy on December 10th at 3 p.m. December 10th, 3 p.m. is when that one is.
I'll try to watch it.
It's a big game.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was in, why did I think it was at the end of December-ish?
Well, so it's the week. So, it's this weekend is Georgia Tech. The following weekend is Georgia and LSU at the SEC Championship. And then it is the weekend after. So I have 3 weekends in a row that I just can't wait to watch college football at 3 p.m.
I will be in New York on that day.
What are you doing in New York?
Play in the Grand Ballroom at...
Seems like a
Webster
pretty
Hall.
Good...
It's Webster Hall.
New York City.
You remember that Webster Hall gig?
Get Brandon Iron Boys.
That Webster Hall gig.
I like
a lot of people recognize it as the old Ritz. Guns N' Roses play. You see it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
But the game is at 3:30. So I mean, you got time to. It'll be lead you right up to showtime.
Yeah, that's true. I can go to a bar and watch it.
Or sit right there on the bus and not go to any bar and just watch.
Amanda, are you going up to New York for this show? Or are you
No.
No? What,
do you
what
travel
happens?
A lot or no?
I just I usually just go to the local shows and maybe Tennessee.
Yeah, we get kids and animals and
Florida.
You know, and it's just she's got too much responsibility.
Yeah, right.
Well, she's holding on the fort, keeping the home fires burning.
Yes, Ronnie Millsap sings about that.
That's right. That's right. It's important stuff.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things, too, is like it's really important when you're on the road to have such great support at home, man. And Amanda, tell us about that from your perspective. Like, how is it to deal with dudes
on the road? A rock star lifestyle.
Well, I'm used to it. And seeing as how we've known each other since middle school, high school, I used to go see him perform every weekend. And I just knew that this was his calling. And I'd never ask him to do anything else. And
I couldn't.
Usually after a week goes by, I'm ready for him to go on the road. So,
oh my Lord, during the COVID thing, dude, if you would have been at my house, you'd have been crying laughing.
The balance was off.
My Lord.
We had a 3-story house and we're still married.
I don't know that I believe any of that because I just watched the way she was talking about you while looking at you. Man, that is like, it looked like something out of a TV movie or something like the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah. I tell everybody I got, and I heard this from some comedian, I found my death buddy.
Oh,
that's sweet. That's so sweet.
That's such a bizarre way of putting it, and I love it.
Yeah.
Death
great.
Yeah, till death do us part. That's legitimately till death do us part. But you can just tell there's a lot of love right there. You know what I mean? Yes. And sometimes you don't see that with couples, but it's very clear with y'all.
It's either the love or the toleration. I don't know.
Yeah. A lot of patience.
But man, and this is a true story. When we were out on the road and COVID happened, and when we finally went out and did the Spirit of the South, I had caught COVID in
I remember, yeah.
In Florida. I shut the whole show down. I was so embarrassed. But when I got home, I was like, all right, I'll just go down to the basement and do your, what was it, 14 days? Is that what they said?
Something like that. Yeah, something back then it was.
I was down there for 6 months.
What?
Stay in the basement for 6 months.
Really? Because Amanda said you had to, I bet?
It was so nice.
Oh.
She said, this is your new room, Paul.
I swear. It was hilarious. I was like, I'll just stay down here.
What'd you do down there for 6 months?
Well, my basement is like it's got my record player, my amps.
Everything you need.
Studio. I got a movie theater in there. It was there when I bought the house. So there's everything. A bar, a shower, bath, everything.
Everything you need except Amanda's over there looking at you like, everything you need?
Well, you know what I mean.
99.9% of the
Put it this way. I put a lock on the basement door so the kids couldn't come down there and bug me.
Wow. Or catch the COVID.
Right. That was my excuse.
Yeah, no.
Bro, I got COVID. It's been 5 months. Oh, don't come down here.
It's real strong. It's real strong down here. You got to back off.
Well, welcome back to the surface, Paul. We're glad you're back. Hey, while we were on sports in that Army-Navy game, I wanted to, you know, we're on the Braves Radio Network here on the Braves Country Podcast,
We
need to profess our love for the Atlanta Braves,
Absolutely. First
of all. And you guys are Braves fans, and you've been up to the stadium before?
We're from Pensacola, so it kind of got, the Braves were pretty prominent in Pensacola because it's not too far away. So
yeah, I mean, it's Braves country.
Because there was no baseball team down in our area.
I think North Florida is still part of Braves country.
Oh, dude, it totally is.
Yeah.
You see a bunch of A hats, you know.
Atlanta
hats.
Yes.
Not the Alabama hat.
No. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, there's a big difference. The Alabama A has a little mullet on it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't see how people get those mixed up. I mean, you have to be like completely oblivious.
I could totally tell the difference.
Yeah, so obvious. Yeah, you know what? The funniest story, you talking about telling stories. I ran into, we were camping. This was before my father passed about almost 4 years ago. We had we were up at wherever in Tennessee camping, like Cades Cove or something.
Right.
And this kid was wearing a Tennessee sweatshirt because it was the fall and it was chilly. And then he was wearing an Alabama hat. And I asked him, I was like, well, how does that work? You know, I mean, what's all this here?
I'm so good. What is that going on?
And he said, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you got a Tennessee sweatshirt and an Alabama hat. He's like, that's not an Alabama hat. It's a Braves hat. And I was like, son. That ain't no Braves hat.
That's no Braves.
Yeah, and he argued. And then his dad argued. He's like, that's a Braves hat. And I was like, yes, sir, it is. You're exactly right. Y'all don't kill me.
Yeah. If I'm near one of those Alabama A's, you'll see me get a little green face and nauseous. So most of the time when I'm around my mother and my sister and my brother, I'm not feeling well.
They're all Alabama fans?
Bunch of traitors.
How's that work?
Wow.
Growing up in Pensacola.
I have no idea.
So, because Paul's an FSU guy.
Booyah.
I see. It took me a second to figure out what FLST8 is.
They can't, it's because they can't spell down there.
Mom, Tommy, and Ann, I don't turn my back on my state. Just saying.
That's right. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it took 40 years. My whole life I waited for Georgia to win a national title. Whole life.
Oh, man. It's the rivalry, but the fun rivalry that we had on the bus. When Florida State beat Auburn.
Oh, my.
Charlie did not like that.
He didn't say a word to me.
Oh, boy. I bet that was a tough day.
And was waiting on you to say it, right?
Yeah, but I did not. I didn't.
You didn't put the salt in the wound?
No, I didn't. That was a fun year, too. It was of football. We had a good time.
We're talking to Paul Jackson and Amanda Jackson. Paul's a great guitar player from Blackberry Smoke. And, of course, Amanda is his lovely wife, and they've got a great family. I want to get into that. Tell us, first of all, still on sports here, before we get into the family, you are a member of the Florida Little League Baseball Hall of Fame.
That is right.
What a multi-talented dude. I mean, that's amazing.
It's okay to clap out there, people.
When I heard that, like my first couple days on the bus, I heard that, and then I heard it once a week, and I loved hearing about it because I love it that you're in there, man. Tell us about your baseball
career.
You've
seen the document. Nobody in my band has ever seen this.
This sounds official,
He's brought the certificate here,
that's
folks.
That's right, and from the state commissioner signed it back then.
Amazing.
But it was, I think it was 78, so I was Little League, Little League.
Right.
But now I was really, my dad was my coach, Eddie Frank Jackson. He was my coach, and there's a lot of stories, but I tried every position. Like, I was pitching, couldn't really do the job. Catching, I was so small, the pads.
Swallowed you up.
The real pads back then. Yeah. They were just all over the place. I looked like a goofball. I tried third. I was outfield. I was all right. But when they put me on second base, that's where I shined.
Everything clicked. Yeah.
I was on.
Okay.
Because I wasn't afraid of the ball. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff. I'd go after it. So there was a lot of bruises, but it is what it is.
I love it,
it's ball. It's
second base is a great position.
But my batting, the only thing I was good at, my average wasn't, I never hit home runs, but I could, wherever my dad would tell me to hit, I could angle myself that way. And I would just get over to where they couldn't jump to get it. Mm-hmm. I'd get it in the outfield and, kind of near the foul line if I needed to. It was weird. I could do that. But
what do they call that, Tug? A spray hitter?
If you're able to spray the whole field, you're spray charge.
So you hit for average.
Yeah. But, my fielding is what got me that.
So
that's what they were.
You never made an error.
Impressive.
Your Little League team? What was the teams that you were on?
We were on play. Well, I think you've heard me complain about this.
Okay, I've not heard it.
Okay, my dad's a firefighter. And
God bless him. That's awesome. And, military and firefighter?
Yeah. He was a firefighter. So
good man.
He, for some reason, we were part of the local 707. That's what they called it. I should have brought my hat. But for some reason, he decided to dress us up like pumpkins. And we had black jerseys, orange letters, orange pants with a black stripe down the side.
Well, that's the Orioles.
Orange pants, that's loud.
I was like, why are we? I kind of went home and was like, almost in tears. I was little.
Dad has got us looking
totally
dumb.
So we look like pumpkins. He goes, it'll distract the other team. It'll distract them. So.
And plus, that was the cheapest one we could get. Seriously.
I said, this isn't red and white. We're supposed to be part of the firemen. He goes, he just kept blowing me off.
Right.
Go pick up the baseballs and stuff.
Now, speaking of your dad, I noticed on the other side of the certificate there, you've got his certificate.
Yeah,
your dad
coach
is also.
He was he got in for coaching because my dad was very big on baseball. He coached, up from Little League. I don't know after you get out of Little League, but
Pop
not high
Warner
school
or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And the Civitan, and they went to the state championship. I was their bat boy. So, I was all enamored in this stuff until my dad passed away when he got killed fighting a fire.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I kind of just dipped. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a tough thing.
He wasn't my coach. He didn't show up for practice one day. We had a sub coach because he was working, and that was that. I was at practice.
Oh, my goodness.
My mom showed up, and grandpa told me, he was gone. So that's when I just stopped.
Oh, my gosh.
It wasn't like I didn't stop because I wasn't into it. It's just that kind of.
Yeah, man.
Jarred me.
Yeah, that and the guy that's guided you for so long.
Yeah. I still love baseball. But
oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of trials and stuff. I remember my dad traded me one time for two players.
No.
I didn't talk to him for weeks.
I guess not.
I was so bummed out.
But didn't he trade you to like your uncle's team? Yeah. So it's kind of like
he traded me for two players.
I've never even heard of that in Little League.
He kept you in the family.
Yeah, he kept me in the family.
But wait, y'all. You're acting like this is normal. This is Little League. What are we talking about?
Did you have a traded card that year?
I went over to the... from the 707 to Joe Patty Seafoods. I was cool with that.
They probably had better uniforms.
We were gold and green at that point. So.
I don't know that that's much better, though.
Yeah.
That's tough, too.
Yeah, it's the ball field's still there at the moment. You know, they'll probably end up getting rid of it.
No, I hope not. There's nothing better than old ball fields.
Dude.
I love them.
I go there when I go to Pensacola.
Just stop by once in a while? I love that.
That's where I learned how to play.
There's just nothing better than an old ball field. The ones that I grew up playing are no longer there either. They, you know, because they tore down the middle school and all the county rec park was behind the middle school. And what they did, they tore down the middle school and rebuilt it over on the old ballpark and then built the new ball fields on the old spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's amazing. It looks beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But I just wish there have so many memories. Just like you're saying, they're so vivid. Those memories of, I remember one time I was trying to pitch and I was not very good either. And my dad was warming me up, not wearing a helmet, and I zipped one in there. I mean, it's hard as you could throw it as a 12-year-old, but it skipped off the top of his glove and bink.
Oh.
And he had a little bit of blood, you know, because it just broke his skin. Not anything better, but he saw stars for a little bit and I thought I'd killed him. And I was in tears on the mound. It was awful.
You know, to back in those days, you know, baseball was so very big in society. In our generation, it was everywhere. You turned. I mean, the best way to explain how it was, the Bad News Bears, how they, you remember that, the original movie?
Sure.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's what it was pretty much like at that ball field. It was constant baseball. You know, they had bands come out and play. Just the same thing.
Yeah. I love it.
It was awesome. And I love that movie, too, because it just brings me back to all that.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it, but anyway.
Well, take us. I know you're originally from Philadelphia. Your family is, and then we had Pensacola, and now Noonan, Georgia. So take us through the story, if you can, of how all this developed.
I was born in Philly at Jean's Hospital, and then my biological father. I was born Paul Allen Scarpato, I'm Italian by birth, but he was stationed. He was in the Navy, and he got stationed down in Pensacola with the USS Lexington. And that's how I wound up there. And then he whooped my mom too many times, so she took off while he was out at sea, you know, and took me and my brother. And she had a friend that he didn't know from working at, was it JM Fields or AMP? Anyway, over near Mariner Mall.
I don't know. They
didn't have room in their house, but they said we could stay there. So this is a true story. There's a picture somewhere of it. You know, this old metal sheds back then to put your lawnmowers in? Well, they cleared it out and put two single beds in there, and it was a dirt floor. We stayed in there for, I think, a month until my mom could get help because she was trying to get away. She didn't want the Navy to find out where she was because he'd find out where she was, you know, that kind of thing. So, anyway, that's how I wound up in Pensacola, and then, you know, growing up with a firefighter dad. It was a firefighter family. All my friends were firefighters.
And your dad, he adopted you.
Yeah, he adopted us. My biological father didn't want to raise me and my brother anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I was adopted by the time I was 2 and a half, you know? So I went immediately into a family with straight up Indians. I mean, all my family down there. I love them to death. The way I am today about family we were talking is because of that family. They're tight. Even though we don't get to see each other, it's like we didn't skip a beat. If I hadn't been around for 15 years, they're just family. That's how I was raised and taught by them. And then
and they're all Seminole tribe, is that right?
But yeah, they're Poarch Creek Indians.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, some of them are still, you know, they help out the Indians. My sister gets help too, mm-hmm. and my cousins and stuff. And my aunt went to bat for us, my Aunt Liz. She's awesome. And she went to bat for us trying to get us help, but since we're not blood, you know, that is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, eh, don't worry about that. It's all good, you know?
Yeah, you got a good raising, though.
I got family. That's all I care about.
That's the most important thing in the world.
Yeah, they're super great people.
Yeah.
You know, the Walkers, the McGees, the Jacksons, the Cloptons, it was just awesome. And just raised around those people, and which I miss. I love them very much. Then after baseball came along, I found music after my dad had passed. You know, he was killed fighting fire in 83. I just found music, and it just, my mom took me to my first concert in 1985. It was Motley Crue, and they ruined my life.
Let's go. It was my first concert, too.
85.
Mine was 89, nice. The Dr. Feelgood Tour in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
This is...
That would have been Home Sweet Home, Theater of Pain album. Yeah, 85.
Wow. So after that, I had a band for a long time, and we started that band, I think, at the end of middle school. It was Bellevue, right?
Yes.
Bellevue.
Check with Amanda to make sure.
trying to get stories. And then... in Pine Forest, we were a pretty decent band, I guess, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Right?
You guys are really cool.
I was super cute. I'm not sure if I buy that.
Yeah. Right?
How many times do you have to say that a day, Amanda?
Yes. Amanda, tell me how
cool
I am.
You're cool.
But then in Pensacola, you wind up, there's a lot more story, but I'm trying to make it fast, but... In Pensacola, you play in a band with a certain amount of people, and then one person quits and goes to the band next door, and then the drummer quits, goes to the band next door, and then you quit. You just end up playing with the same people.
It's just at different times.
So it's like a different name of the band.
Right.
So I just got tired of it, so I decided, I was like, I want to go to where music is, and Atlanta has at that time had a pretty big, decent music scene, and it probably still does. And so my buddy moved up here, Jeff Gilman. And he said, you should come up. So I was like, all right, let me figure out how to get up there. So I was working at Arby's, right, in Pensacola. It's like, I know, I can get transferred to an Arby's up there.
You're a smart guy.
I know.
It worked.
It worked. They said, oh, yeah, you can come up here and work. You already work for us. You just change your paperwork. So I found an Arby's near the apartments I wanted to stay at, and I just could walk to work or take the MARTA, which was cool. We didn't have buses down there in Pensacola, you know, a bus service.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll tell you a story. Like, here's my first, not Braves encounter, but fan wise. When we were driving up, we got up here in the middle of the night. We were up at Spaghetti Junction, 85-285, mm-hmm. And because I was going to Buford Highway, and was driving up, and all these people were waving at me and my brother, and I was like, man, these people are friendly as hell. This is so cool. I was waving out the window.
How y'all doing?
They're just everybody was waving. The Braves were starting to get hot. You know, Sid Bream era.
So this is like 92?
Yeah. And driving up, and I parked, and I talked to my buddy Jeff. I said, man, everybody is waving. This is so cool. And he's like, no, dude, they're doing the Tomahawk Chop.
You should have recognized that.
I knew
being an FSU
but
guy.
I didn't put it together with the Braves. Yeah. I knew the FSU was doing that, but I was just like, hey, how y'all doing? Oh, look at that guy's waving too. I kept waving.
Hilarious.
And I love it, dude. That's the greatest. Talking to Paul Jackson and his wife, Amanda Paul of Blackberry Smoke. You can check out their website, blackberrysmoke.com. And they got a big show on Friday. November 5th with DNC, Driving and Crying in Driving and Crying in Georgia Satellites. And there are very, very few tickets remaining. You get them at blackberrysmoke.com or foxtheater.org.
Now, like you said, your mom took you to that show, at Motley Crue show, and it really seems to me that, and you told me over the years that that after your dad passed away, your mom really kind of just took over.
Oh, my
and
God.
And she really lifted you up.
Bless
Talk about
heart.
Your mama for us. For
Man, my mom, her, she is, and Amanda can tell you this, my mom's got super thick skin, you know. Raised in Philly with, you know, my pappy and nanny. My pappy was pretty strict, so was my nanny. You didn't call anybody stupid in the house or degrade anybody, mm-hmm. or there'd be a hand near your head or behind.
Sounds like Northwest Georgia. Same kind of thing there in Dalton, Georgia.
That's just the South.
Back then, it was okay, and still is, in my opinion. But she got married, and like I said, she got divorced because she was, what would you call it, just abused?
Abusive relationship,
Yeah. And then she got out of that and married my dad. And when he passed away, mom just, you know, Pappy and Nanny came down from Philly to get her. She's like, I'm not leaving.
Yeah,
they wanted to move her back with us, and she's like, "I'm not leaving." So she stayed down there and raised this man. And I don't know how she, because when Dad passed away, I was 12, and I just started becoming a teenager. Mm-hmm. And this is in the 80s. So in the 80s was a blast. So, we have a 13-year-old. He is nothing, thank God, like I was.
Well, you got a little cell phone leash on it.
Oh, my Lord.
You were off the chain.
Mom, she was working all the time. She would come in and wake us up, get us ready for school. Or not get us ready. She'd like,
get ready for school. Let's go.
Get up, you know. And we'd walk into the... She'd already been gone for work, you know. She had to hustle my mom. But I don't know how she pulled it off, dude. I really don't. She hustled to work and then would come home and go work at night at a... Oh, what's that country bar? Carousel. Remember the Carousel?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is Pensacola.
Pensacola.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she'd go work there at night, like managing or something, mm-hmm. also during her day job, and she'd come home. But if the meals we would get, she would come home and, I mean, a sack full of McDonald's cheeseburgers. She was, dinner's here, and go back and get ready and leave.
Yeah.
But she was my momager for years. The band I had, we were pretty well known in Pensacola.
Momager, I just picked up on that.
Yeah.
She wouldn't let nothing happen to us. And somebody wanted us to go out on the road back then. It was called the A Circuit. Like Thumper, he was in it. He was working for our light guy, Thumper, working for a band on the A Circuit. And you travel up the East Coast and back down, all the way down to Key West and back up. But there was a, I think they were called Showtime Agency, wanted to get us on their roster and send us out. And I think I was 17, mm-hmm. 18. And Mom's like, absolutely not.
She said, no, sir.
I honestly would have been dead.
Yeah.
You know? Not by drugs or anything, but probably doing other stupid things.
But she really guided you, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, she was good. I mean, she just helped me and my brother. And we found music, and she knew that was it.
Now, when did Amanda come up? Amanda, when did you come up to Atlanta? Did you come on that first trip when he was thinking the tomahawk chop was his greeting?
No. No, we were both divorced, and I was living in Florida, and we both had a kid each, and... He looked me up on MySpace.
I think it was MySpace, yeah.
Buddy, I've not heard that name in a day or two.
Yes, so we started talking, and then he came down, and it was just...
That was it.
I was like, oh, my gosh, it's Paul Jackson, because I had such a crush on him in high school. And we started dating, and he moved me up, and I lived with him and his mother at her house for a while with my daughter.
You got to plug. Fort Payne,
Alabama.
Dude, that's the home of Alabama. Dadgumbama, and rest in peace, Teddy.
Right. We just my mom sent me a picture with him the other day. I forgot that I had that picture.
Yeah, Teddy Gentry.
Yeah.
And then y'all moved to Noonan from there?
We had our son.
Yeah, we had our son there.
In Fort mm-hmm. Payne at
at a hospital.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm trying to be like a theater.
I try to remember the name of it.
The only one I think is
the hospital in Fort Payne
for Alabama. They named it after her, the wing after her.
Oh, God, I'll look it up. Hang on. I'll look it up. I'll find it. This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today. 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast. Braves Country also sponsored by Smith's Old Bar, best live music venue in Atlanta since 1994, located in the heart of Midtown at 1578 Piedmont Avenue. Smith's Old Bar is a neighborhood joint for everyone. Check out smithsoldbar.com for the current concert calendar and tickets. See y'all at Smith's.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
We were living in a little trailer that we were renting and everything, and my dad wanted us in a little safer situation, and we were sick of the driving back and forth.
The rehearsal into the bus and all that stuff.
And so they helped us move down, and we got an apartment. Mm-hmm. And so that was better than a trailer. And then after the apartment, we got a rental home in one of the decent neighborhoods. And so that was better than the apartment. And then we finally bought our own home.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's the American dream right there. I mean, you came back from so much adversity do that. And it's all about family. That's what I love about it. And you were really, even though you had challenges to your family, your mom kind of showed you the way with that. And that's why from what I heard you say, you wanted to circle back and find somebody who had some of those values.
Yeah, it's just, we talked about it when we got together. It's funny you say that. It's like when we got together, I remember Amanda telling me, she goes, do you ever feel like no matter where you are, you're not home? You know what I mean? You're not with her. And, you know, I feel like I'm home because it's what I know. You know, I think that's what keeps us clicking, you know, and her, you know, toleration level.
Well, that and the way she looks at you, man. You can't miss that because she looks at you like you hung the moon.
That or she's going to kill me later.
Well, see, I know. And just because we've just met, I don't know which one is which.
Well, both.
Because I'm not.
Both of them are very similar.
You know, I smile. I smile. And I'm generally a happy person most of the time, but I have my moments.
We call it pulsive aggressive. Is what we call it.
She got plenty. She came up with that. Excuse me, sorry. She came up with that.
Yeah.
She came up with a bunch of them. She goes, you need to stay positive, and quit being passive aggressive because I am passive aggressive. Uh-huh. That's just my nature.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was
just names. But and then she came up with the COVID one. This is great. The COVID one. She goes, I'm getting completely claustrophobic.
I'm so sick of him being around.
Go to the basement, dude. Go to the basement.
So there's more to come. She just
It's when he's being cheap or
I'm super cheap, people.
Also, when he does things like it's the 1970s, like he doesn't want to call and handle a bill. He wants to drive
to the place 10 miles away
pay in person.
Case in point, I was trying to pay her storage payment yesterday. All day and called him, never answered the phone. So, you know, I'll just drive over there.
And did you get it done?
Guess what? My bill got paid.
That's when he's grandpa.
Home run.
I like that. I see what you did there.
So good, Amanda.
I can't help it, dude. I once went to, to pay your electric bill, you do it online. Uh-huh. But I literally took my cash, went to the bank, got my cash. Because I was so frustrated with the internet, and went over, and where only way you can pay your electric bill is if you go to, is it the Dollar General?
Yes.
I drove over to a Dollar General.
Look here.
Hey, that's Southern if I ever heard it right there.
Talking to Paul Jackson and his wife Amanda of Blackberry Smoke.
Now talk about the kids for us. Let's hear all about the kids. Go in. Maybe Amanda wants to lead it off. Tell us in order.
I have my daughter Sadie, who is 20 and goes to KSU.
Go Owls.
Ooh. Go Owls. Hootie
Hoo.
Hootie Hoo.
Yeah,
Hootie Hoo.
And our son, Emerson, who's 13 and nuts. And,
oh, boy, 13 and nuts. That's true.
And then our wonderful, talented son.
Spencer. Yeah, he's 19 now, a musician, and I lost him to music. I didn't really think he was going to bite on to it, but he took a chunk out
of it. I mean,
he
was playing it like in single digits. Wasn't he playing at 8, 9 years old?
Yep, I knew it. I knew it. I was like, oh, boy.
Here we go.
Because, you know, and we're in the music business. You know how rough that can be. It is rough, dude.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat, I hate to say the word evil, but it can be with the business part of it.
Yeah.
The best part is when we're playing, you know. Somebody asked me, what's your favorite part of the day? I said, well, the 2 hours I'm on stage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't like any of the stuff that goes on behind. It's just, I can't believe, you know, people that deal with that aren't completely bald. I'd pull my hair out.
See what's going on over here.
But isn't that a pretty normal thing?
It is normal. It's just, it's a shame. It's a shame that I wish it was more, it's a business. It should be more helping, friendly. I wish it would. Mm-hmm. But like any business, all businesses are that way. I just wish it was more like family oriented type thing.
You well, know one I mean? Of the things about the Southern rock bands that I do enjoy working with is that they do form a family.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, there's kind of a we're not going to take this BS from the rest of the industry.
Right.
Kind of like all for, you know, we're all together in this kind of a thing.
And that's,
you know, I love that about Blackberry Smoke is that you guys always have the wives and families and everybody comes. And I mean, I every time we go to Philadelphia, the Scarpato family was there. And your mama comes to shows all the time. And it's just like it is a family. So you have a lot more support. Whereas if you work with a band from other areas in the country, it's a lot more pirate and cutthroat.
I agree with you there on the Southern rock kind of vibe thing. It seems like it's an entity on its own with all the Southern rock bands because the industry doesn't really pay attention to that kind of like they should, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, there's the country, what it is now, the country, you know, that's a big, they put promotion into all that stuff. But with bands like us, young or old, it's the industry to me doesn't seem like they don't know what can be done there. And there's a lot that can be done with it. People still like that music. They love that music. Even the country people, they just don't know where to go and get pointed in the right direction to see it.
But don't you think, though, that that actually has some benefit, too, that the industry isn't? Because
that's
would
true.
Be in there.
That's
they
true.
Would be in there, and it would be more like the West Coast
that
or the Northeast.
True.
I mean, I don't know. Let's total outsider looking
and
in.
And who knows? We probably wouldn't be here if we were in the industry. I don't know.
But you're worried about Spencer.
Yeah.
And why?
Well, it's just he's my son, for one. I can't help it. But, I'm you know, he's out working with us now, you know, working guitars, helping Paulie with stuff, you know, getting the stuff from backstage onto the bus and all that mess, you know, for this run that we're doing for the 10-year anniversary of the Whippoorwill.
Huh? He's loving it.
Yeah, he's loving it. He wants to be in this business, in the industry, whether it's music, you know. If there's music, he's going to be around. But anyway, I'm just worried about the him getting hurt mentally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The grind of it all.
Yeah.
But just not being able to believe in himself like
oh, it ain't that.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, remember, you guys have been on the road. I've talked about it, but I've never done this like y'all have.
He's at the moment like another worry, you know, trying to find, and I always say if you could find a unit to get into and they want the same exact thing you do, there's no stopping you. There's no way you can't make it. Because if they want the same thing you do, it's going to happen. It may take a week, month, year, 7 years, 8 years. But if you stay together, I mean, we're living proof of it as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we got together. We all four knew what we wanted to do. And we just went straight at it and didn't stop and haven't stopped still. Whether there's the four of us and one time five and seven or eight or nine, hell, 20 people in our band. We all want the same thing. So, but that's what I want for Spencer, and I'm worried about him not finding that.
I saw Spencer accidentally at a show at Napoleon's here in Atlanta.
He told me he saw you.
And he's great. He really has a great, I mean, you taught him well on the music. I mean, he has a great performance style, and he can sing and plays guitar. I mean, first of all, that's hard to do.
Yeah,
both those at the
he's
same
not
time.
Shy.
He's not shy. He's a good kid.
And he loves the music that we grew up with. He asked him, I said, how come you don't listen to a lot of the music now? And he goes, well, because there's instruments aren't there, a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, and what he listens to, he identifies with. And that had nothing to do with me. He just went through my records and listened to it. And it's the stuff that we grew up listening to.
Like Skinner and Almonds.
Crew and Molly Crew. And stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. He just now, he goes, Dad, have you ever heard Rush? I was like, bro.
Yes.
Let me get a hold of your Funkle Brandon. We call Brandon Funkle Brandon.
Because he's the fun uncle.
So we call a Funkle Brandon. Brandon is crazy about Rush and taught me a lot about it. But it's fun to watch him absorb it. But I just worry about the industry part of it. That's all. It scares me.
I'm a little bit. It's obviously very different, but kind of in that same vein, my son is 18, and he was like, "I want to go be a baseball broadcaster. I want to go
Totally.
Broadcast games. I want to call games, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, no, this is not the place you want to go. I promise you it's not. And he's like, no, it's exactly what I want to do, you know? And so I run into that too, just the industry shrinking and the media being so splintered. And so there's just a little bit of concern there with me too. I get it.
You know, that reminds me of something I actually wanted to say about that is the what we had to go through, what I had to go through to get to where I am today. I'm not driving on a generation. I'm just saying it's a little different. I sound like my mom, but it's a little different than it is now. I mean, I slept on floors and hallways next to air conditioner vents. I've stayed in cars just to do what I'm doing now. And I'm like, that's tough. You don't have to do that. But my path took me that way, and that's what I don't want for him.
Well, but Paul, your path is part of his path because you did that and you suffered through that, and then you lifted up to this level, and now he's got an extra man.
Yeah.
You know, he gets to use your video game terminology.
I do have one complaint that he keeps taking my cables. And not returning my cables.
Oh, like your guitar cables?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
He's got to learn a little guitar player etiquette.
He done took my acoustic. I bought acoustic for myself.
Yeah.
And I use it out on the road for backup. He done took that. So I just gave it to him. So, you know what? Keep it.
I mean, as a guitar player, do you not have like 900 guitars?
I do.
Okay, yeah. So, okay.
Amanda is not.
Yeah, she's not her head like rolling her eyes. I bet he's got more guitars than you have shoes.
Oh, yeah. Well, he complains about my books, but he's got guitars everywhere.
Oh, she's always her books.
Stupid reading.
I'm the one that has to move them all the time because they're heavy. And she goes, knowledge is heavy.
That's right, it is. What do you like to read, Amanda?
Everything. Reference books. I like history and.
Grammar police is what she is.
Do you call that like comma splices when people are writing? Because that's what I failed English in college doing.
Sometimes. I help.
I don't put out a text
writes.
Or anything without her looking at it first.
She's a proofreader.
If she's around me?
Yeah.
Totally.
I love it.
Does this look okay?
Although he's rubbed off on me, so I'm all, y'all.
That's
ain't
a good
y'all.
Thing. No, that's good, though. That's good. Embrace that.
I was born in California into Pensacola, so my accent
I can hear that. I can actually hear the California in there. I had you not told me, and I'd guessed it would have been California.
She lived in where they filmed E.T.
No
didn't you,
way.
Didn't you say that? Where was it?
That was Northridge.
Northridge.
Yes. Yeah, over in that
or
way.
Something
that's
like that.
Sadie's dad.
No, that's
my
right.
ex-husband.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
It got quiet.
And awkward silence.
Don't you
moving
ever
right
talk
on.
About it? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, everybody's got an ex, right?
Absolutely.
Well, y'all have done the, what was that show that you have done the thing where you put the kids together? What's that show back in the 70s where they put the
Brady
kids?
Brady Bunch?
The Brady Bunch.
Oh, the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch
yes,
thing, right?
Absolutely.
So, and you've done it successfully, and it's amazing.
I'll tell you what's, you know, it's way off the subject. I get on my kids all the time. They're terrible huggers. I get on Sadie all the time. They're just like a one-arm hug.
Uh-oh.
You know, I got to get in there.
Yeah, I like a good
me
hug,
too,
man. I'm with you. Me, dude, Paul, we're a lot alike.
I gave, like, Spencer, I still give my son, Emerson, I still give him sugars on the cheeks. I can't help it. I do it.
You should.
Spencer, every time I see him, I'm like,
yeah, you should, man.
My kids.
That's
no
right.
You can, man.
Love them more than anything else in the world, and you have to, and they understand that. I mean, that's affection you understand.
I have to kiss Sadie on top of the head. She won't let me kiss her on the cheek.
Yeah, well
that's all they're right. All three
they're all
good kids, and they all get along. I mean, Emerson tries their patience, but they're all really decent.
He's the youngest.
So what is Emerson and Sadie into? Since we know what Spencer is into with music and being on the road a little bit, what about Emerson and Sadie?
Sadie's concentrating on her school.
That's good.
And
but like, what does she like other than school? I mean, she got to like something. Does she like square dancing? I mean,
video games and she used to
manage a video game team.
Yeah,
or something
she
like
in
that?
High school she was like a manager
of
one
like,
of the gaming,
like the e-gaming team.
A manager of those teams that go around. That's what she wanted to do for a while.
That's a gig. I might have to check that.
I know,
out.
Dude.
I know. Absolutely.
That's what I said. I was like, it's kind of like a band manager, a tour manager.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want to do something like that?
Right.
You should talk to Scott and him.
And then Emerson's
like,
the gamer.
And he's so there's a lot of like okay, and then it sounds
Emerson. Emerson, you know he.
Yes, you're
a gamer.
He's a very expensive
gamer. They play on my heartstrings because
learn,
I love games,
Yeah, they
too.
Learn that from you. You play video games.
Yeah, I know. It's just they get me on that. I'm just like, Dad, can I have this? I'm like, what is it? And I'll go, maybe I can play that later. You know, and then I go, okay, go ahead. And even at Christmas time, I saw on a text last night he was asking for something for you.
Yeah, he hits us up for money. Can I have $20?
It'll be the last time, I promise. I said, you said that two hours ago.
And 2 days ago.
What about Thanksgiving? What's on the plan? What's in the plan at the Jackson house for Thanksgiving down there in Newton?
I leave the kitchen. I'll be in the basement.
He'll be in the basement.
You get COVID again.
The typical stuff, you know. Well, tomorrow we are going to a friend's house for a fire pit thing, and so that will be his cutting loose situation.
Maybe I'll be nursing a hangover on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Well, you mean New Year's Eve?
Thanksgiving.
Well, you skipped all the holidays. Say, buddy.
You skipped. Sorry.
If you're going to have a hangover from Thanksgiving.
I'm looking forward for the year to be over. No, I'm just kidding.
Lord, that is turning it up.
You got a few hangovers between then.
I know.
You
know.
And then Thanksgiving's my day, so I start the morning off with cranberry and champagne in my arm up a turkey's butt by 8 o'clock, and that's what I always say.
And don't forget the parade, which we're traditional.
Oh, I have to watch
my
parade.
My wife loves the parade too.
Yeah, the kids don't. They don't care about
really
it.
Care
None
about
of them watches it with me.
And then the Great Pumpkin, you got to watch.
That's the Thanksgiving one.
Well, that's the Halloween one, the Great Pumpkin.
Yeah.
But there is the Thanksgiving one.
Whatever.
Yeah, the Great Pumpkin
it's got a pumpkin in it.
Yes, it does.
I'm making a ton of food, and he's supposed to take Emerson to go throw a ball at a park or something.
Oh, that's a ball player too. He likes
football. He wants to throw the football.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, why don't you play football? Mom won't let me. I was like, nobody cares.
Now, is that true, Mom?
I don't see it happening, and he's
what,
goofy.
What about a flag league?
No, I want him to hit people.
Oh, well.
That's what I did. I played football for a little while, knocked these two beautiful front teeth out.
But you can lead up, and you start with flag, and then you put on the pad, you know, graduate to the pads. Yeah.
Our nephew does it.
I said,
he's really
defense,
good.
Dude. You get the people won't be hitting you.
You get to hit them. Yeah. No. Amanda says no. As we talked to Paul Jackson
Gaming
and his wife, Amanda.
You just get the hand cramp.
Ow, my hand. That's funny. Yeah, now, what do you like to play, though? I'm sorry to cut you. What's your video game you like to play? Is there one particular?
I like, and the reason I don't have, and I have Xbox, and the reason I like that is because the military games, stuff like that.
Call of Duty.
Shooting zombies and stuff like that. You know.
Red Dead Redemption.
Everybody's so sensitive.
That's what you
days,
like.
I don't want to. I like the
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. You like the first
like Red
person
Dead Redemption.
Yeah,
and
the
stuff
first
like
first person shooters, I believe, is what they're called. See, I could be wrong about that. I think that's what
I don't like the first person where you can see your hands. I like to see the entire person.
Oh, okay, so yeah,
like
I
Just Cause.
Mean.
I like
Got
Just
it.
Cause.
Okay.
I like Red Dead Redemption is a great Western game. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And then Ghost Recon, stuff like that.
Okay,
that's my jams.
All right then. All
I love
right.
that.
Talking to Florida Little League Hall of Famer Paul Jackson here,
and
along
big
with Amanda
fan.
Jackson, and big Braves fan, of course.
That's right.
And I want to ask you, next time you come up, now that you know where it is, and you like going places, we discussed that. So maybe this summer, maybe you bring Spencer up here and you guys play a few songs.
I'm
or
down
something.
With that. Down with that. We totally do that.
Yeah, I think that would be cool, because Spencer had to go to Florida, right?
Yeah,
so he couldn't
with
go.
His mom's family, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we learned that in the beginning.
He kind of wanted to stay, but he's got to work the show anyway, so.
Oh, is he coming back for the game?
I have to go.
Well, you got
to
go pick him up, you said.
Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to go get him.
And all the way down to Florida?
No, I'm going
to
meet halfway.
Not
oh,
Macon?
That's cool.
Meet his grandmother halfway. Yeah. I want to say, like, Montgomery.
Valdosta? Oh,
maybe
Montgomery.
Oh,
okay, got it.
Yeah, there you go.
And then I'll get up the day of the show. I was telling the man, I get up the day of the show, we'll leave at 8, go to the airport, pick our sound guy up and his girlfriend, and take them to the Fox. And then I turn around and go back home to pick my wife up and go back to the Fox.
He's like an Uber driver. Oh he needs God. To get. You he did. Literally needs to get like a something that he can keep toll on there.
Yeah, you need to start charging these folks.
Yeah. Did you hear that, Amanda? Do you hear how busy I am? Did you hear that?
I feel like there's a conversation that had been had before y'all came in here.
I'd like to speak on Amanda's behalf.
Yeah.
When you're gone, do you know that she takes care of all this kind of stuff
that.
Without you?
Okay. I
take care of him from afar.
She does. Dude, when we were in Europe.
Oh, yes, I was going to say.
When we were in Europe, it's so funny. Real quick, when we were in Europe, I kind of went to a pub and hung out. And the pubs are inviting over there. You know, you've been in them. They're just relaxing and calm.
I went when I was in the Navy.
Yeah, just relaxing, calm, and chill. I kind of left and forgot where I was. So thank God I had this app on my phone called Find Friends, and man, it got me back to my hotel. I couldn't find it at all.
Oh, man. I guided him to ramen,
I was like,
too.
She goes, make a left.
You're talking on an international call with her. Seriously. On how to get around the block to your back
left.
To your hotel. Wow.
You're turning right. I said left.
That is a good.
He's walking around the Netherlands looking for something to eat.
Yes,
and
people.
She
finds me restaurants. That's right.
I'm
like, lazy.
If you turn
and my
left
wife
and go
rocks.
Down, there's a sushi place around the corner. And
that's right. Like I said, I'm lazy and my wife rocks.
You don't ever, do you ever go to, because I know you said you typically just do like the regional shows, Atlanta or maybe a Florida or whatever, but you don't do the, I mean, just once in a lifetime chance, right? To go to Europe and just be there?
I'd like to. That would be nice. I'm
Paul,
thinking about
make a
it.
Note. Paul, make a note.
Mental
she'll,
note.
She'll definitely hit them cruises.
Yeah, the cruises were always fun.
Oh, like the band cruises?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen those, but I've never been on one of those either.
How many of those have y'all done? About 18 or 20, isn't it?
Something like that.
Amazing.
It's a lot.
I think I did like four or five with y'all,
yeah.
And it was
she's like, what do we do now? I'm like, wait for Scott to call and say he has our credentials. So yeah. Let's sit here in the room until Scott calls.
Yeah. Which was seconds later, I'm sure.
That's right. Mr. Efficient here.
But it was, you know, that whole cruise thing was like, I called it the rock and roll Navy. Because it was kind of...
That's awesome.
Because it was like being in the... I mean, you were at work. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You were at work.
Yeah, yeah. Just trying to gather people up, I'm sure it was a pain. And the good thing is you play an hour, but there's a lot to go in for us just to play an hour. Everybody else has got a bunch of stuff they have to do, and they had to round us up half the time. And
when we first started going, there wasn't any internet out there on the
that's
our
right,
phone calls.
That's right.
And you had to literally run around to people's rooms and knock on doors. And where's everybody? Where's Richard? You know,
you couldn't get things done on land. You wanted to get it done while you're out there because we had to come back and immediately go back out.
That's right. Yeah.
that's one thing our band has always been is constant. You know, I'm grateful for that.
And speaking of that, what's coming up for you and Blackberry Smoke in 2023?
Well, we're in the process of finishing a new record.
Awesome.
With Dave Cobb.
Great.
I have to go next week. Charlie, myself, and Benji are going to go do some things on it. And then we head out for the road to finish the Whippoorwill thing. And then
which
is the 10th anniversary.
The 10th anniversary of the
Whippoorwill. Yeah, we're super excited about it. We're having a good time. You know, we're super thinking about Britt, you know, just.
Yeah, you want to update us on Britt?
Yeah, he's doing well. I saw him yesterday. And every time I get to see him, he looks great. Like, Stone Cold great to me. I'm just like, you look amazing, dude.
For any listeners who don't know, we're talking about Britt Turner, the great drummer for Blackberry Smoke, who has run into some health issues lately and, you know, walked away from a heart attack, first of all, and then had to go back in and deal with a tumor that's on his, I guess, his brain. Right?
Yeah, the frontal lobe.
And he's at home recovering by the grace of God, and he's just, I mean... When I heard about the heart attack, I was like kind of unfazed because it's Britt. And I was like, well, he'll that off and be at soundcheck.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing myself. I said, he'll be fine. He's tough as nails.
He is. He's the toughest guy I know.
And he was fine. I mean, he.
And he's doing it again, isn't he?
And he's, you know, then after he got that happened, went through that, they found out about this. You know, and luckily we were home.
I know.
He came back out and did shows with us. And we were home both times this happened, so he was able to get somewhere because we weren't on a bus in the middle of the night, you know, which would have been
a disaster.
Oh man, you know it. So they found it and they went in and took it out, and they were they take it to make sure, you know, they do the biopsy on it, make sure it's what
benign,
yeah. And we'll get the word on that sometime soon. I don't know when, but I just know he's going to be fine.
Yeah, whether it is or it isn't, he will be fine. He is going to power through.
That's right. Put it this way, Britt doesn't have a choice. He doesn't have a choice.
No, well, you know, he's done a great job. He turned the Blackberry Smoke merchandise into his Merch Mountain company, and he's really blown that up. Now he does like the Allman Brothers
stuff. I tell people all the time, if it wasn't for Britt, there would be literally no Blackberry Smoke.
He's the business mind.
I don't say that about myself. I don't say that about Charlie. I don't say that about Richard. Britt is the one that kind of made sure we did what we did to get to where we are.
He's driven the ship, and he's like the player manager.
Yeah, even when we had managers, he's still managing us.
Yeah,
you know, he's just. We are lucky to have a human being like that in our organization. You know, and he's our killer drummer. So, you know.
Now, will Brent come join y'all at the Fox just to say hi to folks?
And, yeah. We're planning on it.
Great.
So that's, we definitely want that to happen. I'm stoked. So
yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. Who will play drums with you?
We had Mike Rizzi.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's great. And then we had Kent come out with us.
Yeah, he's a great player as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Kent is killer. Mike's super killer. And they did a great job, man. They helped us out. And Britt's super happy that they came out, you know, and did it. And, you know, it's weird not to see Britt around.
Absolutely.
When I turn around, I don't see his face. And it's shocking to me, you know, because I'm used to his playing and his tempos and his feel. Mm-hmm. You know,
is it that much different?
It is. It is. Some people hit harder. Some people, their tempos can be different. But like I said, Mike and Kent are nailing it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just looking forward to Britt being back out there.
And I'm looking forward to this show because it's an important show for Atlanta and families. And it's like the way we celebrate Thanksgiving in Atlanta is the Friday after. There's always been this big concert by one of our local heroes who's an international success. And it started with R.E.M. used to play every Friday after Thanksgiving. Then they handed that to Driving and Crying, and they did it for a long time. My buddies in Drive-By Truckers did it for a couple years, and then Blackberry Smoke took over.
Right.
And now you're kind of like the torchbearer of the Friday after Thanksgiving concert.
And it's the Fox Theater.
It's the Fox Theater.
Oh,
we've played the Fox, but never kind of headlined a thing like this at all. We went in and did a song for the Skinner tribute thing.
I remember that.
Which is cool.
That was great, yeah.
And but this is our Fox experience, you know, and we definitely want Britt to be there for that.
Yeah.
You know.
He's got to come out.
A lot of hard work he did to get us, you know, to where we are. I mean, we all had a hand in it, of course, but Britt was the mindset. He was our conscience.
Yeah.
Like, you and Charlie need to stop doing that.
Yeah. He'll tell you. He will tell you.
Like, give me an example of something he'd get on to you about.
This story's been told, but we were on an airplane coming back from L.A. or something, and Charlie and I, we had a few. This is way back. And,
A rock band on a plane having a few? I can't imagine.
Listen, it was just the four of us. And for some reason, Charlie and I were listening to the same channel. And I think it was something like New Edition came on. And for some reason, we took our shirts off or something like that. And Rick comes up from the back and he could hear us. We were singing.
Yeah, sure.
Because we were three sheets to the wind at that point. Mm-hmm. Rick comes up and is like, I am your conscience. Put your shirts back on. And I was like, oh, I don't have my shirt on. But we had them open or something. Yeah. And we're just making noise.
Singing Poison by Bell Biv DeVoe or something.
I got to tell you, I think it was Candy Girl from New Edition or something.
Okay, New Edition.
Charlie and I were cracking up.
That's right.
It was so funny. We're like, we're on a plane listening to New Edition. But a lot of people don't know this. Britt is one of the funniest people I've ever known. Like, he can just say something, and it is just hilarious. Just
timing and everything.
His timing, delivery.
Maybe it's the drummer thing, right?
Oh yeah, maybe. It's just funny. I'll start giggling now thinking of the things he's done, like I am now.
I love
just
that,
hilarious.
Man. I love that.
But he's a driven guy, and I think part of it is that he is also a military brat. He's an Air Force brat, his brother Richard, who's the bass player, is as well. And so they're driven guys. And the band is driven, and I think, in my personal opinion, you'll be playing the Fox for many years to come, and Britt will get his chance to play a full set.
Yep.
That's what's going
to
happen.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
Is there any place like the Fox? I mean...
Well, it's just... I mean, Skinner did that record there.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of...
Play it pretty for Atlanta.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's a thing you have to do. You know, believe it or not, I never thought we'd ever get to play it, so I'm kind of in shock. You know, I'm like, wow.
I don't know about y'all, man, but I guess because I grew up in Northwest Georgia and I just, you know, Atlanta was always this, you know, because I grew up about 20 miles south of Chattanooga, right? So we all mostly went to Chattanooga because it was close, but when you got to come to Atlanta, it was a big deal. And you thought it was seeing the stadium, Fulton County Stadium and that sort of thing. But so anytime a song would reference Atlanta, I just thought it was the greatest song on earth.
Right.
It didn't matter if it was Motley Crue, Girls, 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 or Skinner play it pretty for Atlanta. You know, you just hear them talking about Atlanta, and you knew that they loved it like you love it.
Yeah.
You know, or at least that's the way you felt about it.
I thought when I moved from Pensacola, you had the option of going to New Orleans, or where Amanda went. She went to New Orleans, and I moved to Atlanta. There's a music scene in New Orleans big time, but it's not what I was wanting to do.
It's internal there. It's like Atlanta, we're broadcasting to the world. New Orleans, they wish people would just not come around.
Yeah, they kind of just stay in that. It would have been a cool, I'd have been hip on the jazz thing big time, you know, in that Cajun vibe. But I just moved to Atlanta because
you rock guitar.
Yeah, we used to come up here. Literally, dude, we would get up in our vehicles in the morning and come up here and go to music stores just to look. Right. 4.5 hours away, drive 4.5 hours back.
Like which music store? Like, what was there one that you particularly?
There was Dirt Sheet Music back then. There was one down in Buckhead. I can't remember what. Rhythm City, which, you know, forgive me. We used to call it Rip You Silly, but Rhythm City, which was great. And then Guitar Center showed up, the Walmart of, you know, I don't know if I could say that over there.
Yeah, you totally can.
The Walmart of music.
Yeah, it's like a box store.
Yeah. You can get if you need something. But the best ones are the mom pops stores. I love Dirt Cheap. I thought it was crazy. It's still around, I believe, over here somewhere, if I remember correctly. But like I said, I moved down to Noonan because I'm cheap. And I get a bigger bang for my buck.
And plus, there's already a famous Jackson from Noonan.
That's right.
So now you and Alan Jackson can battle for who's the biggest star of Noonan. Yeah.
I am Paul Allen Jackson.
And have you seen your namesake around town?
We just see his mural on the side of that building.
And the green sign as you head down.
I ran into Zach lives in Peachtree City, so I ran into him a couple times down there. Yeah. I was in somewhere. There was a school supply store. I was in there getting books and stuff for the kids, and some dude come up and pinched me on the back. I was like, oh, hey, dude.
It was Zach Brown.
Yeah, he was getting big old things of glue for his daughter's class.
Oh, cool.
Like a gallon, whatever, like mayonnaise jars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a super good dude.
Yeah, he loves those kids too, man. He's a good dad too.
He's great.
Well, we thank you all for coming in. We're grateful, and just to spend some of your Thanksgiving, and especially in a busy week like this. Thank you guys so
thanks
much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
I missed you, man.
A reunion here.
Good meeting you.
You as well, man.
Nice to meet you.
We'll get together soon. I'm going to come down and see you all at the Fox.
Okay, I'll see you in a couple days.
We'll have a good time, though.
Right on.
I see you on Facebook.
I'll see you on Facebook, yeah. And folks out there listening, make sure you listen. You subscribe to the podcast on every platform. We're all on Braves Radio Network, as well as the Podcast Park and Apple and Spotify. And check out Paul's work at blackberrysmoke.com. Get your tickets there or at foxtheater.org for this Friday night at the fabulous Fox Theater.
That's right.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast. Braves Country also sponsored by Smith's Old Bar, best live music venue in Atlanta since 1994, located in the heart of Midtown at 1578 Piedmont Avenue. Smith's Old Bar is a neighborhood joint for everyone. Check out smithsoldbar.com for the current concert calendar and tickets. See y'all at Smith's.
Braves Country supports the Warrior Alliance and the Shepherd's Men, two phenomenal veteran organizations based in the South. Check out thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com for more info and resources. That's thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com. Braves Country would like to thank all of our nation's great veterans.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.